We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
A woman was caught in sin, in the very act of sin. And the law of Moses said that for that type of sin, she must be stoned. And the Pharisees and all of them were out there ready to stone her. And they told Jesus, not because they wanted his impression or his opinion, but they were trying to trap him, whether he's against Moses or for Moses. It was a trap set for him. Moses said, do so and so. And what do you say about it? And in other words, are you with Moses or against Moses? You know, that sounds modern, doesn't it? Are you with our crowd or not? Are you with Jesus? Not that, you see. Have you heard the question? Are you with our crowd? Is he fighting our crowd? Is he against us or for us? And Jesus said, anybody here without any sin, cast the first stone. Throw a rock at any of you fellows around here. Have no sin. You're spotless and all that. You go ahead and do it. He rolled in the ground, got up, and they were all gone. Pricked by their consciences because they were sinners too, you see. And they walked away, and then Jesus told her to go thy way and sin no more. Don't sin anymore. Undoubtedly, he forgave her because she evidently had a work of grace in her heart. Because he wouldn't have told a person not to do any kind of sin anymore without divine grace, because it would have been a useless command. The law was not given to take men to heaven. It was given to help us to know what's right and what's wrong. Men go to heaven by the grace of God. And a man whose heart's right, who knows God, will, by the grace of God, keep the law of God. You don't keep the law to be saved. You keep the law because you are saved. You're saved by grace, and then you live right, not to go to heaven, but live right because you're saved. There's a difference and a distinction that we should keep in mind. I don't go to heaven by what I do. I do what I ought to do because I'm what I ought to be, and I'm what I ought to be by the grace of God. Now, that's the way it's in the Bible. Then after this happened, you remember, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, let's notice that just a minute. Suppose anybody ever lived on earth, got up somewhere in some place, and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Suppose somebody said that. Anybody ever lived. Suppose Paul said it. Suppose Peter said it. Suppose John on the Isle of Patmos said it about himself. Suppose any the saintliest saint ever lived said that. Why, people say he's crazy. He's crazy. Something wrong with him. Poor fellow, he's lost his mind. Of course, somebody might be crazy enough to follow him. You know, nearly anybody can get a following on some line, you know. Any false religious teacher can come along, cut his hair short or long or tied up or twisted or plaited or something. And get out in the world, just anybody there, and get certain hangers on, you know. Don't know where they are. But an intelligent, normal person would think a fellow was crazy that made that kind of statement. But it doesn't shock you for Jesus to say it. Now, the way Jesus Christ handled this occasion, the way he handled this occasion, the strategy, the divine strategy in handling this case, would indicate that he is not like other people. There's something different about it. They were going to stone him. They were claiming to keep the law of Moses. Now, Jesus Christ never set the law aside. He said, I've come not to destroy the law, not set it aside. I've come to fulfill the law, see. And when he died on the cross, he fulfilled the law. He took all the sin and all the guilt of all the world in his body and nailed it to a cross. Now, we are saved by what he did for us at Calvary. But notice what he said now. I am the light of the world. Wonderful statement. Was he or wasn't he? Was he telling the truth or was he not telling the truth? Now, notice what he said now. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. You won't have to be in darkness. You don't have to get cobwebs in your mind. And not if you follow me. Just go along with me. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. In other words, you'll get the light too if you follow me. The light that shines from the sun lights up the moon. The sun is the light of the world. The moon's the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when you follow him, you yourself have the light of life. That blessed, wonderful light that's not like any other light the world ever knew. It's the light of eternal life. He has it. If you follow me, you'll have it. Now, note what they said. The Pharisee said to him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Now, notice the answer of Jesus. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, my record is true, for I know whence I came, whither I go. You cannot tell whence I came, whither I go. You judge after the flesh. You don't know. Your opinion's no good in this case. Now listen just a minute. There isn't any way on earth that anybody could speak authoritatively about Jesus Christ, whence he came, and about him except Jesus Christ himself and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. There are only three, the Holy Trinity, that can tell us. There isn't any way that I could know that from everlasting to everlasting that Jesus Christ was God. Unless God said it, Jesus said it, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost said it. There's no other way to know. Now listen, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said, let us make man. Now there he is back there. All right? Now how could I know? If I want to be a witness to a case, I may say a man told me a certain thing, and he did, see. Well, I'm witnessing to what he said he saw and what he said he heard, see. That might have some kind of bearing if it's properly related to other facts. But when a man's an eyewitness and says, I was there, I knew all about it. And I'm intelligent enough to know. I know whence I came. Now, what did Jesus Christ say about himself? Well, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. Now, he said all that. Yes, written in plain language. The record's here. And remember now, while men were putting him on a cross, driving him to Calvary, persecuting him, spurning him, he was still claiming to be the Son of God. And he claimed to be the light of the world. He claimed to be the resurrection and the life. He claimed all that for himself. Now, that's the evidence he gives concerning who he is and whence he came. So he gives the evidence. All right, now what about it? Well, God Almighty, the Father, what do you say about it, God the Father? This is your Son, manifest in the flesh, yes. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you say about it? This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This is my Son. This is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. All right now? Now, what does the Holy Ghost say? Now, that's the record in the Bible. The Bible is a God-breathed book, an inspired book. God-breathed. What does the Holy Ghost say? When he has come, he'll testify of me. He talks of Jesus. And the measure of the power of the Holy Ghost in any movement, whatever it is a measure of the exaltation of the Son of God. That the Holy Ghost never plays down Jesus Christ. Never. And when any movement comes along that plays Jesus Christ down in his virgin birth, or his incarnation, or his atoning blood, or his bodily resurrection, it's not the Holy Ghost, it's a false spirit. It's the spirit of the devil. It's the spirit of hatred against the Son of God. The devil knows who Jesus Christ is. And the devil is an enemy to him, and he's a deceiver. He blinds the eyes of men so they can't see the Son of God and be saved. Now, all of this modernistic movement and religion, all of it, all of this stuff that raises questions, all of it is not the work of the Holy Ghost, but it's the work of the devil, the playing down of Jesus or the playing up of something else so you don't see Jesus Christ. Now, the Gospel of John exalts him. That wonderful, wonderful Gospel of John. If you take this, your Bible, read through the Gospel of John over and over. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation. All right, you go on through that. God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The exaltation, always exaltation of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the only way, no salvation anywhere else. Now, let me tell you something, men and women. You better listen to this now. There's but one or two alternatives for you. It's Jesus Christ or hell. You can join every church in Christendom. You can be baptized once a week. You can take the communion. You can turn a new leaf. You can quit a bad habit. You can quit something this. You should quit. It's a good thing to quit. You can do all sorts of things. But you cannot be saved by anybody in the universe of God except God the Almighty. And you've got to come to God by the only way that God's open. God has opened one road from where you are to his saving mercy. And that's the way of the cross that leads home. There's no other way. Now, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the light of the world. No man can be in the light that isn't with him. These men judged in the flesh, and the flesh is man's natural judgment. It's man's mind. Say, well, I like to probe into the truth. God was in Jesus Christ, this world, reconciling men to God. Not your own thinking, not anything you can do, Not anything your church can do, not anything man can do. It's the only one can do it. That's God. Come to all ye ends of the earth and be ye saved. All right, how am I coming? I heard that message. How shall I come? There's a way to come. There's only one way to get to me. What's that? Through Jesus Christ, my Son. The Old Testament priest pointed to that cross, to the Lamb of God. And when he came, John the Baptist said, yonder he is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All the blood on all the altars of the Old Testament, that blood there was just typifying, just a type of his blood. So when he came, and John the Baptist saw him, said, that's the one. That's God's Lamb. And God's Lamb hung on a cross, bled and died, laid down his life. Men tried to kill him, but they couldn't. They were murderers, but they couldn't kill him. He laid down his life, and the third day he picked it up again. Then he walked around among men, and many witnessed to having talked to him after he rose from the dead. Best established fact, somebody said, in human history, from a lawyer's standpoint, is the evidence given here about the resurrection of Jesus. Then he went back to heaven. He's up there today at the right hand of the Father. He's listening to me now. Jesus, I hope I'm true to you. I'm trying to tell him about you. And you said if we'd honor you, you'd honor us. We're trying to tell them about you, Jesus. We're exalting you. We're not worthy. We know we're not worthy. We know that. But we tell them about you. And if they are lost, Jesus, I don't want responsibility. It's not on me. There's one way and only one way, no other name. He's the only way. He's up there in heaven. You better play this thing safe. That old man, 73 years old, heard our message and trusted Jesus Christ. We had numbers of people. They called us up over the telephone and said they'd accepted Christ. And you can accept him right there where you are. He's the only way. Now listen, the only way. And you can't save yourself. You can't earn salvation. You can't pay for it after you get it. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. If you get it, you're going to have to get it from Jesus Christ, and he'll give it to you if you'll take it. The gift of God is eternal life, and salvation is through his atoning merits, and it's for you. May God help you to trust him and surrender to him. Now, Father, bless all who have listened in. May the Spirit and power of God come upon us. May we be dedicated to thee and surrendered to thee. May we Christians be true to thee. Help us to exalt thee. O Lord God, save us from the perilous dangers that we threaten today of substituting that which is good for something that's best, building something up so high that they see that and don't see Jesus Christ, who's high above all things, highly exalted. Help us to be faithful to him, we pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.